Well, we know from the scripture that if we are able to love the Lord, it's because He loved us first. And thank God for His love to us and compassion shown not only on Calvary, but compassion shown every day in His mercy to us. Tonight, this being Wednesday night, commonly normally called prayer meeting night, every once in a while I try to bring a message on the subject of prayer. For that's why we are gathered together. Jesus said His house should be called a house of prayer. And so when we come together, sometimes we go through the motions. We open with prayer. We have a prayer during the service. Then we have an ending prayer, and that's well and good. But there's much more to prayer, our prayer life, than just what we do openly and what everybody can see. Tonight in the Bible, turn to Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. And I want to begin reading in verse number 15. And we'll read down through verse number 19. Mark chapter 11, verse number 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and the chief priests heard it. They sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. Of course, this is the account that's also given to us in Matthew and Luke and a portion of it in John. It's one of the stories that's given in all four of the Gospels. John is a little different gospel than the first three and does not have all the different messages and stories and occurrences that the first three gospels have. But this is one that is in every portion of every scripture in what we call the four gospels. And so therefore it is a very important portion of scripture, because it identifies what the house of God should be. He says that His house should be known as a house of prayer. And when He enters into Jerusalem and goes to the temple, He's entering in there as He comes to a Passover. And there are multitudes of people set up, and they are just selling everything possible in order to make gain. And when the Lord sees that, He drives them out. The scripture says that He turned over the tables, He drove them out. And here, the scripture tells us here that there was not any that was after that that was able to carry any vessel through the temple. That would be a vessel to be able to make the money and be a money changer. It's very common for certain things to be sold during the Passover and during different times. There were those that were able to supply certain things that were important in their worship service, but it had gotten to the point now that's more important. That was more important than everything else that was going on in the temple. And when we think of the temple, I know we have a different mindset. What would be called the temple to the Jewish mind would be even much of it open air, much of it outside, not all enclosed in a building like we have. Even though they did have a temple that was enclosed, and different things went on at different portions of that temple mount. And so he enters here, the scripture says that he comes into the temple, and there he sees all the exchanging of money and the making of money and the process that was taking place. And the scripture says that he became angry. The Bible tells us he overthrew some of the money changers' tables and drove them out. And then he makes the statement that it has been written, and they know that it was written, that his house in all nations should be known as a house of prayer. And I'm glad that we have the opportunity to pray individually, collectively, as a church, individually, as a person. We have that ability that God has granted unto us. But the sad part of it is, in all of our lives, is that this is one of the greatest gifts that the Lord has given to us, and it's one of the most unused gifts that we have available to us. I hear people say all the time, "I'll pray for you," and I wonder if they really do that. We have many different expressions of prayer, and the important part is that we are in the position that we can call upon the Lord and know that He will hear us, and then we know that He will answer us. And we're just going to look through some things tonight fairly quickly concerning this subject of prayer. We are told over and over by the Lord that we are to ask. We must have a desire to pray. There's a innate desire for, I believe, every Christian that we would get a hold of the Lord, that we can talk to Him. He speaks to us through His Word and through the impressions of the Holy Spirit, but we speak to Him through our prayer life and our directing our desires unto Him. A definite prayer, it has to be a prayer that is dedicated unto the Lord, and we must be determined that we're going to continue on and never give up in our prayer life and see see the answer that the Lord gives to us. Throughout the Scripture, the words, I looked up the word pray, prayer, prayers, praying, and prayed. I didn't look up supplication, the different avenues or different ways of prayer, but just the word itself that is associated with a prayer life. And there's 536 times throughout the Scripture that those words are used in multiple, many, many verses. And so just the word pray itself is used 313 times, and much of it, much of the times that these words are used is in the Old Testament. And then the Lord brings it over and incorporates it into the New Testament. So 536 times some form of the word prayer or praying is used in the Word of God. So that makes it pretty important. That makes it something that we certainly need to be aware of. And prayer, we must be concerned first of all with self, and then I believe we will bring us being concerned with the sinner. If we're really praying for the lost, we will have a concern for them that is a heartfelt concern, not just a knowledge or not just a head knowledge or a mind knowledge that so-and-so needs the Lord, so-and-so is lost. But I believe we need to be really concerned for their soul, to be really understanding that if they draw their last breath, then that is all that they have on this side of eternity, regardless of what religion tells us and what others may give to us. Where we spend eternity is determined by what we do with the Lord in time. And God gives us time and chance, time and opportunity, David says, and it's given to all men equally the same way. And so we need to have a concern for people that are lost and people that have the need of the Lord Jesus Christ, to pray for them with a concern. I believe we need to pray for them compassionately, understanding their need, understanding the condition of their life, the condition of their heart, and the condition of their eternal soul, that it is going to be without God forever and forever. And then that concern and that compassion needs needs to overflow in our lives when we meet people that are lost. I've heard some people deal with people that are lost, and they wasn't about to trust the Lord because of the attitude of the one that was talking. We must have a compassionate heart. We must have a concerned heart for those that are lost and consecrated unto Him in our prayer life. So I want to look at some things tonight just about this subject of prayer, some four or five things, and then we'll go home. First of all is the promises of prayer. God gives us many, many promises. One of the great verses in the Old Testament concerning prayer is the Lord tells Jeremiah, he says, call unto me and I will answer thee. There's a promise that the Lord says, when you call, I will answer. Now, I'll be the first to admit that sometimes his answer is not what my answer or what I thought the answer would be. Sometimes his answer is not what I wish it would be, but God always answers our prayer. Sometimes he does it immediately, but most of the time he does it down the road somewhere in the process of time. But he does say, call unto me and I will answer you, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so if we want to know some things that we do not know, here we are invited of the Lord to call upon him. And he says, I will hear you. I will listen to you. And then he says, I have the ability to show you things that you don't know about. And I believe much of our understanding of the scripture comes about by not just reading and not just hearing people explain that, but I believe much of our spiritual understanding, much of the personal understanding that we have of the Word of God and the things of the Lord is God dealing with us individually and letting us know and giving us instruction along this thing of prayer. So he says, call unto me and I will answer. There's a positive promise that the Lord gives to us. He doesn't say, I might answer you, or he doesn't say, I'll answer you sometime. I'll put it on my agenda. But he says, if you call unto me, I will answer you. So what a wonderful promise that is, and that promise that is given to the child of God. It's a positive message that the Lord gives to us that we can understand that he desires for us to call upon him. The Lord has made us, he's created us, and he's left us only one way to communicate with him, and that's through our prayer life. I haven't seen visions, I haven't heard voices, but I can call upon him and I know that he will hear me. And I realize the what the scripture means by that. So it's a positive promise that I will hear. Call unto me and I will answer. He tells us to come unto to him and he will be there. So not only is it just a positive promise, but it's a conditional promise. In the book of John chapter 15, and verse number 7, the words are given to us, if ye abide in me. If we have an abiding presence in the Lord, then he has told us that he will hear us. There are many promises in the scripture. Some of them are unconditional. It doesn't matter what we do, doesn't matter what the conditions are, doesn't matter what the circumstances are. There are some promises that God gives to us no matter what. But there are some things that are conditioned upon us. I think one of the most best, maybe well-known promises given to us is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Though that verse says, if my people, which are called by my name. So he's talking about his people being called by his name. He says, if they will humble themselves. There's the condition. There's what condition God puts upon it. He says, then I will hear from heaven, and he says, I will heal thy land. And so he says there are conditions of our prayer life. If, that's a little word, but boy, it has a lot of connotation. He says, I will do this if you do certain things. And so the condition promise is, if you abide in me, I will abide in you, and I will be with you. And the promise is given that we are told to continually bombard the things of the Lord and the presence of God with our prayer. We're to be persistent in our prayer life. Turn over to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll read verse number 7 through 11. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Here's the persistence of our prayer life. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? What a wonderful passage of Scripture. He says, ask. Then he says, seek. Then he says, knock. He says, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, ye shall find. If you knock, the door will be opened. Couldn't have a better promise from the Lord than coming to him to ask, to seek, to knock, and to know that he will open the doors, the windows of heaven, and pour out us a blessing from the throne of God. And he says, and he gives an illustration of an earthly father. He said, which of you would give your son, if he asked bread, would you give him a stone? If he asked a fish or meat, would you give him a serpent? He said, and you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. And God calling us evil, we are wicked people by nature. And so the Lord says, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How, and those two words are very important, how much more. I'm glad the Lord knows how to give me those things that I need. If I ask, if I seek, if I knock, he has promised that through my persistence that he will answer my prayer. There's a sure promise from the Lord. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 13. The verse reads, and ye shall seek me and find me. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The Lord has given us a promise that if we will look for him, we will find him. If we seek after him, then we will find his blessings. So we shall seek him. We will find him. If we search for him with all of our heart, that's abiding in him. That's that promise that he gives to us, that we can have the blessing of knowing that the Lord is there to hear us. His ear is not deafened. His arm is not shortened, that he cannot hear us or cannot reach us as his people. So that's just a few of the promises that's concerning the life of prayer and needing the having the blessings of the Lord given unto us through our prayer life, our personal prayer time with the Lord. And we'll deal with that in just a moment. But there is also not just the promise of prayer, but throughout the Scripture we have many examples of the Lord giving to us the result of the power of prayer. Prayer does change things. That used to be a motto that people used quite a bit. We don't hear much now, probably because we don't pray much now. There's a whole lot of different things taking place in the life of a Christian, the life of churches. Sometimes we've let those good things go, but prayer does change different things. Elijah prayed, and the Bible says that God answered his prayer. In 1 Kings chapter number 18, the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter number 18, and we know the story, we have Elijah meeting the prophets of Baal, and they had cried all the day long. They had cut themselves. They had gone through their rituals of calling unto Baal to no avail. Baal was not there to hear. Baal was just an empty idol. Maybe had eyes but could not see, as Psalm says, had ears but could not hear, had hands but could not handle. He was just an image. And so those prophets of Baal that were ruling in Israel and had so much authority, they all the day long they called unto their God. And the message was given, whichever God answered with prayer, that's who the true God was. And so they had done that all the day long. And when they were finished, Elijah the prophet, he comes and he says just a very short prayer. In 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 36, right in the middle of the verse, Elijah says these words, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things," next three words important, "at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and Thou hast turned their heart back again." Just those few words, that was the prayer of Elijah. The prophets had prayed all day long, and they had gone through many, many different rituals that they had, but to no avail. Elijah stands up, and of course he puts the water on the altar and made sure there was no was not able to be accused of trickery, and he does all the things in preparation, and he prays these, I believe it's 63 words. And the Bible says in verse number 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." When God sent His fire, it was a consuming fire. It consumed things that normally are not consumed by fire. You have, of course, the sacrifice, you have the wood, but then the scripture says here that even the stones were consumed, and the dust of the earth, and all the water that had been poured around the sacrifice to make sure that there was no trickery involved, all that water was dissipated and was gone when God sent forth the fire. And so we find there's power in that prayer. James says in chapter 5, verse 7 in the New Testament, it says that Elijah was a man of like passion. He wasn't a superhuman being. He wasn't a super prophet. He wasn't somebody out of the ordinary as far as mankind was concerned, but he knew how to get a hold of the Lord. He knew how to cry out to God. He knew how to get his prayers answered. And so James tells us that Elijah is just like you and I. He's of like passion, like desire, like he's a human just like you and I, but yet he had the power of God upon him in his prayer, and the prayer came forth with the power of God and the falling of the fire from heaven. Another indication or another example given to us, and we'll not take time to read that, but in Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, Peter is in prison and the church made prayer for Peter. And the next thing you know, Peter is out of prison and he's standing at the front door of the church house. Now they didn't believe he was there. They couldn't believe that he was out of prison. And so God answered their prayer, even though they had unbelief mixed in with that. And they were praying for Peter's release. God released him, and then they said, "No, Peter's in jail." And so God can overrule our unbelief. He can overrule those things in our heart that would discourage prayer. And Peter is released from prison simply because the church prayed. You and I have seen God answer prayer in our personal lives. And we have seen God answer prayer collectively as a church as we've prayed for different things at different times. And I believe one of the greatest power of prayer that you could ever imagine and could ever mention would be seeing people saved. Seeing people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So there's the promise of prayer. There's just a couple of examples of the power of prayer. Now we look at the place of prayer. A lot of people say, "Where do we pray?" I'm glad you can pray anywhere. You can pray driving down the road, just don't shut your eyes. You can pray with your eyes open, that's for sure. I know Steve Allen, of course, he being blind, he said, "I really detest here at Invitation, the preacher always said, bow your head and close your eyes." He said, "I don't have to do that." And he said, "I know that's an expression, but our place of prayer is wherever we desire it to be." There is a open prayer that all of us pray together. Tonight we had prayer requests. I gave a number of different things. Sunday morning we had prayer requests. Had a lot of things mentioned Sunday morning. That's open prayer. And we can do that collectively as a group, as a church. And we can take those prayer requests home with us. And throughout the week, throughout the time that we have before us, we can pray in secret. So there's an open prayer that everybody knows and everybody hears. Then there's that secret prayer. And I believe that is, and I've said so many times, I believe this is the most effective prayer that an individual has. It's what we say to the Lord just between us and Him. We're not interested and we're not worried about what somebody thinks about our prayer. I had someone tell me the other day, he said, I don't mind praying in private. He said, but I have a hard time praying in public. And I said, why? He said, because I'm afraid of what everybody will think what I'm saying. And so that's part of our emotions. But our private prayer is our prayer that we do not, we're not worried about what somebody might think. Private prayer, that secret prayer, the scripture says get into a closet. And that word closet just means your special place, that place that is secret that you can use. I've heard of many different people having places that would go particularly every day to that particular place just to have time of prayer. That's well and good, but you don't have to have that either. Prayer can be anywhere, anytime, under any condition. David prayed continually. The scripture says he prayed three times a day. Daniel in the Old Testament, the scripture says he prayed with his windows open. He was under rule and that he was not to pray. And so what he did, he opened his windows so the authorities could see that he was praying. And of course, his prayer became very effective. Our prayer, I believe, should be determined. Faint not. Be determined that we will continually pray. I've heard so many testimonies, and some of you have, and some of you even have testimonies yourself, of praying until the Lord answered. It might not take a day, it might not take a week, might not take a month, might take a year. And sometimes it takes even more than that. But God wants us to have a determined fainting not in our prayer life. To go to the Lord and call upon Him and know that He will hear us and know that He will answer our prayer. Look with me in the New Testament in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 11. This is a prayer of persistence, just continually. You ever had somebody just bother you persistently until you finally give in? And you say, okay, I'll do it. I'll take care of that. Well, this is an example that the Lord gives here in Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 5. It says, He went unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey and come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The first portion of that scripture is the reason behind the asking, the seeking, and the knocking. His importunity, that word means his continual, persistent asking over and over and over again. And he said, I cannot. I'm in bed. My children's in bed. I cannot do that because of my condition. But this friend continually knocked on his door, continually asked him to give him bread. And then he opened his door and gave it. Thank God, God opens His door. Now, the Scripture says He opens the windows of heaven and He pours out a blessing upon us. So prevailing prayer, never give up, never stop, never go back, but always call upon the Lord. Now, prayer is one of the best things we have. It's one of the hardest things we do. I think if we would all be honest, we would admit prayer is a difficult job to do. Because it seems as though sometimes we only think we can pray when we are still and quiet and we have time. And sometimes then we don't take that time. We lose that time. But there's a peril of prayer. There's a problem. There's a difficulty in our prayer life. Sometimes it's because of sin in our life that separates us from the good things of the Lord. Sometimes we ask, the Scripture says, that we have not because we ask not. And then it goes on to say, and when we ask amiss, or we ask wrong. We have wrong motives, we have wrong ways, we have wrong ideas, and we ask wrong. And so God doesn't answer that prayer like we would desire Him to do. Sometimes we pray selfishly. I find most of our prayers are selfish prayer. Lord, I need, and then we begin to call out a whole list of things we need. Nothing wrong with that, but there's much more to prayer than just my my selfish needs. So there's the peril or the problem of prayer. We ask wrong, we ask selfishly, we ask with sin in our life, and sometimes we just say, I give up. It's not going to work anyway. It's not going to happen anyway. God's not hearing my prayer. I don't know how many people I've heard say, the Lord doesn't hear my prayer. The Lord's never answered my prayer, and we just give up on our needs of the Lord. But He says if we will persistently come and ask, if we will continually knock at the door, if we will continually seek after Him, then we shall find Him. He will answer us, and He'll open the door. Prayer is what a wonderful, wonderful thing. Commodity that we have as a Christian. Two things that God gives us, every believer has it. One is our prayer life, one is our Bible. And these are the two most probably neglected things of every believer. We have time for everything else. But we say, well, I'll pray when I lay down at night. And sometimes we lay down at night, we're so tired, we forget to pray. We don't follow through with our intentions. We maybe have good intentions. We maybe have good ideas and good thoughts, but something steals it away. You know what that is? It's the work of the wicked one. He doesn't want us to pray. Prayer is that what brings us close to the Lord. Prayer is that element that God gives to us that we can have communication with our God. He that has loved us and saved us, He desires that we talk to Him. Some of the best prayer that you'll ever have is when you're not asking for anything for yourself. When you're not asking for something, even for somebody else, just talking to the Lord and expressing to Him how much you appreciate, how much you love, how much you adore what He has done for you. And so I pray the Lord to help us as believers, as Christians, as individuals, as a church. May God help us as a nation to learn to call upon the Lord. Call unto Me, and I will answer thee. What a wonderful promise God makes to you and I. All right, let's stand together tonight.